The daily roundup, it is just gone 6:37 p.m. Well, the United Kingdom Embassy, or the UK Embassy, issued a terrorism alert for South Africa and its citizens who are in or planning to travel to South Africa. However, Pretoria says it's waiting for the Foreign Office to provide credible proof, which it has currently, as of now, failed to do so. Now, whether the UK is obliged to do so, any country for that matter, I mean, South Africa's embassy in London could go ahead and say, you know what, we issue a terrorism alert or a warning to our citizens who have registered on our database who are residing in the UK or in Scotland, for example, or Wales. Are they obliged, or is any country obliged to disclose its information, its reasoning, etc.? Well, let's take a listen. Not the first time, of course, that a country, I know the US has done it at least twice or thrice, if I can recall correctly, in the last 5 to 6 years. Well, joining us this evening is Willem Els, Senior Training Coordinator on Terrorism and Explosives, Related Incidents for the Institute for Security Studies. Good evening to you, Willem.
Good evening, Junaid.
And thank you for joining us. Willem, what does this terrorism alert mean for South Africa? I mean, we are, of course, in an election year. We are about a few weeks away from that election date. In addition to that, a number of international events have taken place with South Africa, featuring therein in the last, 5 to 6 months. Does it really mean anything when a country, a foreign country, issues a terrorism alert? How are we supposed to view it?
Yes, I think you rightly mentioned just the dynamics of this. You know, South Africa itself has also got it used to have before the state capture, and now it's going to be reinstituted after the amendment Gila Bill, where we are looking at a Secret Service and a National Intelligence Service, or SSA, where we've got a contingent of our intelligence service that is deployed wherever we have got our embassies abroad and our missions abroad, with the exact thing that you were mentioning. You know, they are looking out for our country, our country's interests, our citizens traveling there, etc., etc. And similarly, that is what happened now with the alert that was posted actually on the website of the UK in South Africa. And that is normally the website when people travel to South Africa. If you are a businessman or prominent leader or whatever, you want to travel South Africa, and then you've got your team that will consult this website, and they will do a risk analysis for you. Also, your normal travelers, they do the same. So that is what happened, and that was actually posted just after the 7/10 or the 7 October incident in the Middle East. So ever since in January, it's been updated. But also what we saw in end of March, there was a similar warning on the website of the UK for Kenya.
Durko, of course, or the South African government, at least we've seen a tweet from at least one member, unsure that whether this is, in his official capacity or not, requesting further information in terms of intelligence. The UK government, or any government for that matter, that it issues a broad alert to their citizens, is there any obligation on them that we need to share information, where is this terrorist alert from, or who's it concerning, to the host nation, which in this case will be South Africa?
Yeah, typically there are some protocols true for our people who are based abroad, but also for them, like the British or the Americans or French or any of their contingents that have got always a detail of the intelligence service that are based here, and there are strict protocols that they have to adhere to. And normally, how it works is, when I used to work in that areas, they will receive this information, they will then analyze it, and they will convert it into intelligence. And once they are ready, they will actually contact their counterparts in South Africa. They will sit around the table, they will share the information, they will have a discussion, and then what the South African intelligence service will do, they will launch their own investigation. They will gather further intelligence, and then based on that evidence, they will actually decide how they're going to react to it. Are they going to further escalate? Are they going to escalate up through the ranks or whatever? So we don't know what their decision was, but it seems that based on the Durko statement, that it did not reach Durko's upper echelons.
Willem, South Africa during, apartheid, before 1994, had an intelligence, system or an intelligence department that could rival the very best, in the world. And it was a reason. And of course, in those days, what we know now, a nefarious reason, and that is to, ensure that homegrown, what they would call at that time, terrorism or freedom fighting or whatever the case may be, those individuals or those activities associated with such type of behavior and actions be quelled, information be relayed to the proper authorities, and the arms of the state, it went everywhere. It went to townships. It even went abroad as well, to those dissidents and those in exile living in the UK, living in the US for that matter, where South Africa's intelligence system, extended there as well. Angola, the neighboring countries where many who were in the freedom struggle found their homes. How has been South Africa's intelligence system post 1994? I mean, have we kept up to world standards, especially when it comes to homegrown domestic terrorism, which we've seen a major issue, especially in the US, that, in the Trump years, previous to the Trump years as well, that you're looking for an attack abroad, whereas you've got plenty of candidates who are willing to harm the state and innocent people within.
Yeah, you're right. After 94, of course, there's been serious challenges. It went well for a while, and then as they started with card deployment and capturing the intelligence service, not only your national intelligence service but also your military and your crime intelligence services, they came under the loop. They came under attack, especially with the state capture period, where we saw that, for instance, our national intelligence service, our NIA, and our secret service were amalgamated. That made it much easier for them to have one super director that they could that they could manipulate and they could influence, etc., etc. But we also saw that our capacity severely declined. And 2.5 years ago or so, when we had the insurrection in South Africa, we were really caught off guard because there were no credible intelligence to warn government to act preemptively on that insurrection. And that actually was actually reflected in the Zondo Commission. It was also reflected in the Mufamadi report and some other reports, and that is why we have the amendment bill, or the GILAP bill, that is currently before Parliament being debated, where they made some serious recommendations in order to uncapture the intelligence services. So that is a process, and it's going to take some time before they're back on par.
Willem, when it comes to, of course, reporting, now, whether the bill passes in its current form or, as you had said, maybe in an amended form, I'm sure that there will be many questions about it with regards to personal freedom and, information, etc. But when it comes to initial reporting, we find that more often than not, terrorist-related activities, and this is true of especially countries like the US and UK, where it comes to domestic terrorism, many of these activities have been thwarted and been, foiled because of active citizenry. That where you had people who kept their ears and eyes open, not necessarily being, nosy or intrusive in any way, but being, relatively observant that a purchase has been made or activity that has been taking place that is worthy of reporting. And in order to have that active citizenry, you have to have an active citizenry that's sensitized, that you need to remain vigilant, even in your own home for that matter. Has this type of campaign ever been, rolled out in a country like South Africa, that remain vigilant in the interest of everybody's safety?
No, pre-94, in certain parts or groupings in the country, there was that where there was a trust relationship between them and the police service or police force back then, and also the intelligence services. We, they are the, the public is the eye and the ears of these services. But as the trust between the police, intelligence service, and the public started to deteriorate because of incompetence, because of corruption, because of other reasons, we saw that actually that whole capacity deteriorated. So one of the things that the country will have to look at is to rebuild that trust. And not one of the things that obviously that they can start to target is to look at the competencies of our services, but also to address the corruption levels, and that will then lead to the community trusting these agencies more and more, and they will start to cooperate. Because remember, the police and these services, they are within the communities and they are from the communities, and they have to work together to a common purpose, and that is the safeguarding of our country.
Willem Els, thank you for joining us at Red Islam International with this discussion. And of course, let's see where that terror warning goes and whether a explanation is forthcoming or not in the days to come. But thank you for your time, Willem.
You're welcome.
You know, one wonders, right? I mean, look, travel warnings take place all the time. And travel warnings are generally not issued by countries like South Africa. You could find yourself, even if you did register, the South African embassy. I know those who lived abroad, right? And, you know, who are part of the greater South African community, but lived abroad. They felt it in their best interest ever so once in a while, you know, to re-register their name. So the South African consulate in Los Angeles or the embassy sometimes will give you messages like Eid Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem, or, you know, messages like that, noting that, you know, you were from that community and you were in their database, and then Happy Freedom Day or whatever, you know, was related to the South African calendar, keeping you updated of certain events that could take place. It's an election year. Don't forget to register at your local embassy and consulate.